In recent weeks, over 76,000 people have been displaced from the Middle East, arriving into Lebanon. Our next guest is going to be telling us a little bit about their work going on with their partners on the ground and just what they've been seeing in terms of the practical need and the daily life and what life is like for these refugees. I suppose also living in a time of constantly being aware of this conflict and potential conflict. On the line, we have from the Tear Fund Ireland team, Amanda Prather. Amanda, it's hard to kind of get your head around those numbers and 76,000 people. Sometimes I think the actual human face of displacement can be lost when the numbers are so overwhelming.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, I was just thinking when you were saying the 76,000, before Christmas it was 46,000. So just in that short time, it's already been 30 more. And I know that it is hard to think about it because it is a large number. But when we think about what Lebanon has been facing over the past 5 years, they've had a major economic crisis. There's over 80% that are living in poverty. They've been dealing with fuel shortages, electricity shortages, medicine shortages. So there's high inflation. So it's just a really dire situation that they've been living in. And then to have to leave your home and flee to another part of the country, it's just another stress, another trauma that they're facing. As well as they've had an influx of over 1 million Syrian refugees. So people that have come from a place of civil war and had fled hoping for safety and now having to relive another trauma, it's very, very hard on the people in the community and the country.
One of the things, of course, though, Amanda, is that you are working with your partners on the ground. So you are going beyond those numbers and really hearing about what life is like and just the practical needs. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we spoke with, we have a community of churches that our partner works with in Lebanon. And so they were able to speak with one particular woman who works with those in southern Lebanon. And she's shared with us how much they felt forgotten in the south. They felt like no one was helping them. And there's people that have lived near the border and they've been affected and had to flee. There was bombs that were falling. They've lost their harvest, which includes the harvest of olives. And so that's something that they rely on economically. And because the crisis is happening, that's even more important to them. But there's been white phosphorus contamination on that. So it's been something that they've had to leave. And, you know, not just like having to physically leave your home, but they're just tired emotionally because they've left everything, not knowing when they're coming back, not knowing where they're going to stay. And particularly it's been hard on the children. So children, you know, they can hear these bombs falling. And we heard from a gentleman a couple months ago that was sharing about how when he was growing up, his family stayed and they didn't flee. And he had nightmares about this for years and years. So he fled in order to protect his child. And when you think about children, you know, having that innocence and freedom, being able to go out and play and then having to go to a new location where they may not have that back garden to go run and play in, and instead they're in a room with loads of different people sharing a house trying to find safe shelter. So it's a really challenging situation. But our partner is one of the first to help in southern Lebanon, and they've been able to help over 700 internally displaced families with things like mattresses and blankets and hygiene kits and food vouchers. So they're very, very grateful for that assistance and really appreciate feeling seen and taken care of in those situations.
I think is that one of the key things. It's feeling seen, you know, knowing that there's somebody thinking of you and caring for you, and you're more than just a number.
It's extremely vital because, you know, when you're facing those situations, sometimes you think, does anyone care about me? What's going on? And then when you have someone to be able to step in and say, we're here, we're supporting in any way we can, and especially to have the church say that, it's a tremendous witness and just show of God's love for us.
And amongst all of this hardship that people are experiencing, and it's hard for, I think, most people listening, Amanda, to get, you know, your head around about what that might be like. You have stories of hope, which are so important. We have to cling on to hope, and hope is something that we have to cultivate. I know you have a particular story of hope for us this morning.
Yeah, it was really, I was chatting with our local partner, actually, and I saw a photo that they had shared, and it was the day after October 7th when the stuff between the fighting between Israel and Hamas started, and Lebanon was in this state of heightened anxiety of what's going to happen to our country, what's going on, because they're a neighboring country. But there was a photo of the city, and over it was a rainbow, and I was asking them about it, and they shared, you know, we believe that this is, you know, rainbows, it's a sign of God's faithfulness and patience, and he's still good. And they have so much hope and faith in God. They know that God is in control. that he is there and he is loving and good in spite of all the challenges that they're facing. And so it's important to have that hope and to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I think our partners embrace that very well in spite of all the challenges and exhaustion that they're facing.
And it's important for us to end on a point of hope as well. Thank you so much for just giving us an update this morning. That's Amanda Prather there from Tear Fund Ireland. As always, you can find out more about the incredible work that Tear Fund is doing and support their work by going to tearfund.ie.